You are tuned to KGVM Bozeman, Gallatin Valley Community Radio. Welcome to this edition of Ecotones. I'm Joy LaClaire. For the past couple of years, Bozeman Tenants United has been meeting regularly to address and find solutions to the high cost of housing here. We met with two members of the Bozeman Tenants United's steering team, Katie Firethunder and Olive Nakano-Sohn, to talk about their goals and perspectives. We spoke with them at the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Bozeman on August 1st, 2023. Welcome to Ecotones, Olive Nakano-Sohn and Katie Elaine Firethunder. Thank you for joining us today. You are both activists with Bozeman Tenants United. Olive, let's begin with you. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your background and how you became involved with Bozeman Tenants United?
I became involved with Bozeman Tenants United when we were Bozeman United for Racial Justice, and we ran Joey Morrison's campaign in 2021 for the first time for City Commission. And upon knocking everybody's doors that first time around, I would say 90% of people, when we asked them, if you became mayor today, what would you do? They said that they would address the affordable housing issue. And so, yeah, we saw people on fixed incomes not being able to afford their property taxes. We saw renters getting their rents hiked. And that's why we really decided to form Bozeman Tenants United, was because of Joey's campaign the first time, how many doors we knocked, and what they were saying, what they needed, which was affordable housing.
Katie, how about you?
My story is very similar. Previously, I've worked in a lot of electoral politics spaces. I've worked on a variety of electoral campaigns. And I remember in 2021, I came out of working out of the 2020 election feeling very distraught and feeling very hopeless about the state of our state of Montana and also Bozeman, and just felt like I was never going to get involved in an electoral campaign in any of these political scenes really ever again, just because of the way I'd seen how we had failed just the basic people in Bozeman who could not afford to live here. And I remember I went, but I still wanted to get involved. I have like a heart for social justice, so I still want to get involved in something, and went into this kind of picnic style meeting that Bozeman United for Racial Justice was holding. And they announced that they'd be running a candidate and needed some electoral help. I was like, well, here we go. I was like, okay, let me give it one more chance. I really believed in the people that were there and Joby as a candidate as well. And working on that campaign of just being able to connect, it was really scrappy. All of us just young, just knowing that we deserved better. And that took me to where I am today. I helped develop Bozeman Tenants United and taking how I felt hopeless in the electoral process and making sure that people don't feel that way, and that when they're getting involved, that they have a political home here, they have a community, we got each other's backs, but we're also here to fight and change the systems that are not working for us. Bozeman United for Racial Justice came after the uprisings of 2020 and George Floyd. I was not a leader at that point or involved in any sort of way other than I attended the protest in Bozeman, where 5,000 people, largest protest in Bozeman history, attended. But I formally got involved in 2021.
Katie and I have, like we said, very similar stories. Mm-hmm. I attended those protests. I was not a leader in 2020, but in 2021, I got involved with Joey's campaign and have been involved ever since.
And you each have mentioned Joey. So who is this Joey?
Joey Morrison is first and foremost a leader within Bozeman Tenants United, has really helped develop our campaign that we currently are working on, has gone and talked to tenants, been in this work with us for a long time, originally ran for City Commission in 2021. Through that campaign, we're seeing over and over again how people cannot afford to live here and are wanting policy solutions around housing. And so Joey Morrison has now announced running for mayor. Bozeman Tenants United has endorsed Joey for that mayoral seat, and we feel really excited about that campaign coming up.
And who Joey is on a more personal level is Joey was born in Miles City, Montana, and grew up in Miles City with a single working mother. His father at the time was in prison. So Joey has a working class background. He moved to Bozeman to pursue his education. He went to MSU. And while at MSU, he got involved in service work he'd spend his days being a student and his nights working at the Voice Center, then at the Help Center, at their crisis line. And then eventually, when he graduated, he was managing HRDC's nighttime operations for the homeless shelter in Bozeman, for the warming center. And so, yeah, Joey's background is in social work. He's also in organizing with us. So he's been on the front lines of the affordable housing crisis, dealing with the houseless people in Bozeman and also trying to organize for more affordable housing. And so that's really the root of his campaign, is addressing this affordable housing crisis.
What are the goals of Bozeman Tenants United?
Currently, we're running a campaign to ban second home short-term rentals. We believe that second home short-term rentals, where the owner only sometimes lives there, and it's their second home, or it's completely never occupied and is usually owned by an investment company, we think that those should not exist within Bozeman city limits. But we do think that short-term rentals that are like an extra room rented out of somebody's home should stay. They're helping people pay their property taxes, and we know that. And we're also asking the city to use their community housing fund to subsidize some of those type one short-term rentals to convert into long-term rentals for working people in Bozeman. And if the city was to do that, they could set requirements around who would get that housing. So we would ask that it would be for low-income people at 30% of their income.
And is there precedent for that? Has it been done before?
There's been a version of it done in Big Sky before. However, it's pretty hard to subsidize mansions in Big Sky. So people see it as something that was not done successfully in Big Sky. However, we feel strongly that with the infrastructure in Bozeman, that can be done more successfully.
The housing market is drastically different from both Big Sky's housing market. We still have a lot of smaller single-family homes, like two-bedroom apartments. Big Sky has a lot of mansions and luxury apartments. So it's a completely different situation than Big Sky, but it's not unprecedented. And our ban on second home short-term rentals is not unprecedented at all, actually. Towns like Tahoe have done it. The state of Hawaii on Oahu, the island, they essentially banned short-term rentals by making the minimum stay of a rental be 30 days. So if the state of Hawaii can do it, Bozeman can do it.
And I think Bozeman Tenants United's long-term vision is we're building a multiracial, intergenerational membership of tenants fighting to win safe, dignified, and affordable housing for all here in Bozeman. And one day, the entire state of Montana, making sure that we all have affordable housing.
What kind of opposition have you met in your campaign?
Face-to-face, when we go out and talk to people, very little opposition. Working-class people of Bozeman see, the people that are working here and contributing to this community should be able to live here first and foremost before we adhere to the tourism industry. Bozeman has thrived on the tourism industry before Airbnb, and we will after. But right now, people cannot afford to live here. So the opposition that we do have coming up is, as we've gone further through our campaign and we've been giving public comment to the city commissioners, we've done more than 50 public comments from tenants speaking about their experience with housing and how they cannot afford to live here and that this policy would allow them a more easier chance to live here. More and more as we go into public comment, we see more and more short-term rental owners showing up to give opposition public comment. We also know that Airbnb has sent lobbyists to our city to try and stop these demands being met. So I think we're going, and I think people are starting to notice. And I think as we are going further into the campaign, more opposition has come up, but also we're powerful in numbers. And just as much as our opposition's growing, our base is growing as well.
Have you observed any interference from the legislature in Helena? I know that there have been some issues around local control kind of things.
For sure. Yeah, there was. We watched very closely the Montana legislature. I worked in the legislature through MSU. And we see that the legislature is predominantly landlords and homeowners who are advocating for their special interests and that their interests that help them as landlords, and how there was a lot of housing bills that hurt renters rather than helped us. There was a bill that would stop our campaign that was presented. However, it died in the Senate. It honestly gave me a good picture that even Republicans are like, we need to allow municipalities and cities to be able to control and like address the housing crisis in the way that they see their communities need fit, right? Like, this is what Bozeman needs right now, but this might not be what Livingston needs just down the way. This might not be what Whitefish or Missoula needs right now. So making sure that this was a campaign, we had a 6-month strategy strategy of tons of different housing campaigns that we could run. And we saw that this is one that our community wanted and needed, and our base voted on us to do this campaign.
Is Bozeman Tenants United a membership organization? And if so, how many members do you have?
We are a membership organization. We are a membership organization so that we can have independence and freedom to do exactly what our people need right now in relationship with affordable housing. And so, yeah, we are a membership dues-based organization. We have almost 300 dues-paying members right now. That's how we do things.
And how are you organized? Are you a 501c3 or anything like that?
We're a 501c4, dues-paying membership funded by our members who have put financial stake into us and our organization. I can run through the numbers. We have about 30, 40 leaders who show up consistently. We've been able to, within less than a year of this campaign launching, have been able to fundraise so five of us can full-time and quit our jobs and invest in this and doing this work full-time. And previously, up until this point, we've been a completely volunteer-run organization. And so we feel really excited that just this past month we've been able to start full-time and have seen how far that can take us after just being able to grow so little just based off of volunteers and the time that people are willing to give.
And how are decisions made?
We make them as a base. So we have a steering team, which is kind of our board, and Olive and I are both on that steering team where we do a lot of research. We bring people into our base to meet with our city commissioners. We bring people into this and then steering if we see that we might need an adjustment on our campaign. An example of this was when we were deciding what type of short-term rentals we asked that the city commission ban. We got a lot of pushback on type one and how through conversations in the community of people who were like really stuck on, I support your campaign, but also there's people out there who are using short-term rentals to afford to continue to live in Bozeman and afford their property taxes, afford their mortgages. And so we came with a proposition of, do we want to keep the type one ban or do we want to drop it? And our base decided that it would be best for us to drop that campaign and shift to solely those who are second home short-term rental owners who have multiple properties.
There are three types. Mm-hmm. Would you explain what those types are?
Yes. So we start with type one short-term rentals. Type one is really what Airbnb was kind of made up and built to be like, and where it's an extra room in someone's house that they are using as an Airbnb along with they are also living in there. Type two short-term rentals, Airbnbs are people who live in the short-term rental maybe 30 days out of the year, 6 months out of the year, for a quarter of the year. However, leave and go live elsewhere for another portion of the year and short-term rental it while they're not in there. And type three short-term rentals, which are some of like the egregious predatory ones that we see, are properties that no one ever lives in them. Their sole use is to be a short-term rental.
And I just wanted to add too that our steering team is elected by our base. We're a six-person elected steering team.
Tell us about this recent ordinance that you lobbied for the city commission regarding the Airbnbs. What's its status? What does it do? Are you happy with it?
So this ordinance is called like an affirmative obligation ordinance. Essentially what it says is that it requires platforms like Airbnb and VRBO to require a license number that has been given by the city. So when somebody's applying to have an Airbnb, they do things like put out many bedrooms and pictures. But what it would also require is that at the bottom, they'd have to put the license number that they've received from our city that would be checked with the city's license numbers so that only Airbnbs that are short-term rentals that are registered would make it onto the platforms. I mean, this isn't how it's been operating so far. So far, actually, not the majority, at least 50% of Airbnbs that are operating in Bozeman have been operating unlicensed. And so this is a really great step to bring Airbnbs and short-term rentals into compliance in our community. And we think that this is a great first step. It's a really necessary step, actually, in our campaign. If we were to ban second home short-term rentals, that they wouldn't still be allowed to be listed. But we do see this as a great first step, but not the solution fully.
Are there any health considerations in things like Airbnbs or short-term rentals? Does the health department have to get involved? If you're with a management company, there are certain things, like you have to have smoke detectors and that sort of thing. Is there anything like that for the short-term rental market?
Yeah, so actually part of this ordinance is requiring that. Part of this ordinance is requiring regular checks from our fire department on these short-term rentals. The city commission and the city staff was talking about how these short-term rentals are really different than a long-term rental who has like a single residence over several years. These short-term rentals are occupied by so many different people. It would be a lot easier for stuff like smoke detectors or any kind of like fire compliance stuff to get out of whack. It could just be like one person staying there that did that and didn't get caught for however long. And so that's a part of what this ordinance would require.
Has this ordinance taken effect? It's a city ordinance 2131. Has it taken effect yet?
No. I believe it takes effect in August, but I'm not sure exactly when it takes effect. The city commission voted on it a couple of weeks ago at the second reading to move forward with it. So I believe it will take effect within the next month.
In the ordinance, is there any mechanism for trying to identify non-compliant short-term rentals?
I think the whole point of the ordinance is that the city staff would have to do a lot less of trying to identify non-compliant short-term rentals. They're really hard to identify, actually, because they're just in people's homes, so they can really go under the radar. Compliance with short-term rentals has been a huge problem across the entire world and across our country right now. A lot of times, even when they do get banned, they get listed on sites like Craigslist and stuff like that. And so there are definitely more steps to be taken when it comes to compliance, but there isn't anything like that. Essentially, it would just mean that every short-term rental listed on Airbnb or Vrbo or any other sites like that would be compliant.
I understand there's a meeting coming up on August 8th that has some important stuff happening. What's going on August 8th?
Definitely. Yeah, August 8th is a day we've been waiting for a very long time. So we're very excited. It is the day where we have a short-term rental work session and the city commissioners will be able to direct city staff to research and bring a policy proposal on short-term rentals and the best way to regulate them. We have been doing some work with the city commissioners and have had hosted dinners and invited the city commissioners into our homes as renters, and a chance for them to talk and get to know more of our members and for our members to get to know the city commissioners. And through those dinners, we've gotten commitments from three commissioners, Christopher Coburn, Jennifer Magic, and Terry Cunningham, that they will direct the city to research all of our demands. Our demand on type 2 short-term rentals, a ban on type 2, a ban on type 3 short-term rentals, and subsidizing those homes into affordable long-term rentals.
And is that open to the public?
That is open to the public.
Where will that be?
That'll be at City Hall, Tuesday, August 8th at 6 p.m. Bozeman Tenants United will be there. We're hoping to pack the house. We're beginning to line up people to give public comment already. And so we're very excited for what that day entails and ready to hold the commissioners accountable to the commitments that they have made to us already.
So far, it sounds from what you've been saying that this is mostly being driven by renters and people on fixed incomes, maybe who are upset with the skyrocketing property tax. Have you gotten much participation by business owners who are having a difficult time finding employees because of the housing shortage?
This has definitely been something that we've been really excited to expand. Due to our limited capacity and really trying to get this tenants union off the ground, we've been really trying to focus on people who are directly affected, especially renters. We also, our base includes homeowners. A lot of homeowners pay mortgages and can be just one paycheck away from being in debt and losing their home as well. And we call homeowners like bank tenants, people who are paying a mortgage as bank tenants. But that's definitely something that we're really excited to look towards expanding in the future is our building more relationships with business owners, because we also know that rent for businesses is like really, really high. And we've seen many businesses in town like Cactus Records have to move when their rent got raised. And people who are in our base work at businesses like that. And so we're looking forward to building relationships with business owners in the future, but we frankly have not been prioritizing that over this last year, as we've just been really trying to focus on getting our campaign off the ground and talking with people who are directly affected at their door about these issues.
The July 28th, 2023 Bozeman Daily Chronicle had an article headlined "Affordable Housing Project Proposed for Midtown Bozeman." It's on 1.3 acres, three-story building on North 7th and Aspen. It's 40 units, mixed one, two, and three bedroom, dedicated to tenants who have 50% to 60% of the area median income. According to the article, Boundary Development, which is proposing it, is intending to get federal tax credits via the Montana Board of Housing, and they would rent for those who have 60% of the average median income, and that's 23 units. For one-bedroom apartment, it would be $1,013. For two-bedroom, it would be $1,200. And for three-bedroom, it would be $1,376. And then for those who have 50% of the median income, there are 17 units of those. One bedroom would be $826. Two bedrooms would be $976. And three bedrooms would be $1,117. The article went on to say that this would require stabilizing at that rate for 30 years, and then they could raise rates. But the developers, Boundary Development, said that their intention is to keep it for 30 years and then transfer the development to HRDC. I know that was a lot of numbers to give to you, but is this something that you would feel is a movement in the right direction? Do you see any pitfalls with this sort of development?
I can't speak to this just because I haven't really done the research into this specific development. But we know that this is the affordable housing crisis is this really, really big, big issue to tackle. And we know that our campaign alone will not solve it. So it's going to take so many different people and approaches to make like inway onto solving this crisis, including development with units like these that are affordable, which I would need to look into more because I'm not sure. Some of the housing that's listed as affordable housing isn't always actually so. So I would have to do some more research into this specific one. But yeah, we think that any step towards affordable housing is a step in the right direction. And we know that it's going to take a lot of different approaches to solve this crisis and a lot of different people participating in this to solve this crisis. We have been participating in a national campaign alongside a national network of other tenants unions and affordable housing organizers. We participate in a specific campaign with over 20 tenants unions across the country, which is really heartening to see that tenants unions exist and are growing stronger and stronger across this country as like our tenant movement is building. But it would win rent control in 20 apartment buildings in Bozeman that had been subsidized with a Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac loan from the federal government. That's kind of like a side project of ours, is participating in this national campaign. Definitely not the focus of our organization right now, but it's been something that we've been doing. And it's been really heartening to be working with tenants unions from across the country to win Homes Guaranteed for all.
What role do land trusts have in your vision?
That's something that is on Joey's housing platform. We think that they're good. That's another approach that will bring us closer to a solution to this affordable housing crisis.
Do you have anything that you want to add that we haven't addressed?
Bozeman Tenants United feels very exciting to me because my background growing up, I grew up in a lot of low-income family housing here in Bozeman as I was raised with a single mom. And it feels very exciting and grounding to see how just yesterday I was helping start a tenant union in Paisley Court, an area where I was raised growing up and now attending in college and able to help support them and their housing needs. While we're a tenant union fighting for these policy changes, we're also like deeply rooted in community of us coming together, getting to know our neighbors, talking about the work of that we are in this together. We're all facing we're all touched by this housing crisis in some way, whether it's us directly or that we know someone who's been impacted by it. And how can we come together in a time that feels really hard, that instead of having time to isolate and be alone and feel this hopelessness, that we're all coming together and show that we have each other's backs and are finding a way to create this movement of change around housing and beginning to pitch change how we envision housing in Bozeman and change just the common sense around housing that I think we've been told for so long that the way that Bozeman is growing right now is the way that it just happens to be. And I don't think that's right. The way that Bozeman's growing right now means that the place that I grew up and was born and raised, I cannot stay. And I want to stay here. I want to stay and raise my family here. And so what I feel really grounded in is a lot of our leaders and us, we all have a personal stake in this work, and that this is the first campaign. This is not at all the last. And I think it is so exciting to me to see just how fast we've grown and how passionate and how excited people are about the work that we're doing, and the way that people are getting immediately plugged in, are immediately getting developed as leaders, are wanting to plug in their communities and their friends has been so exciting. And I think the way that Bozeman is changing doesn't have to be the end solution.
Olive, do you have anything you'd like to add?
In tandem to what Katie was saying, is something that's been really heartening for me to see is this kind of shift in the conversation about this housing crisis over the last year that we've been doing this work. I've seen the issue of short-term rentals become like a front page issue on the Bozeman Daily Chronicle several times now. I think that it's really heartening to knock somebody's door and they've already heard of us, they've already heard of what we're doing, or they're already on board with banning second home short-term rentals. In addition to this really strong, powerful community that we're building, the way that our community's been shifting the narrative feels really exciting to me.
If listeners want to find out more about Bozeman Tenants United, where should they go? Is there someplace online?
Yes, we have social media, Instagram, Facebook, but also come to a tenants meeting. We have tenants meetings every Sunday at 5:30, the Universalist Unitarian Church. And those tenant meetings, they're the highlight of my week. They fill me. It's a great group. We have childcare available, so we have tenants that are 6 to 69 who are involved. So it's a great group if you're looking to get plugged in, fighting for affordable housing, or just looking for a community. Yeah, Sundays at 5:30. Your FB Church.
Is there an easy way for a listener to find a link online to find out more?
If you look us up, you can find our link tree, which has links to our meetings, which has links to the petition that we're working on to ban Airbnbs and house people. You can find us at Bozeman Tenants United on Instagram, BZN Tenants United. You can find us on Facebook at the same BZN Tenants United. And you can find us at our link tree, which is linktree.ee/ Bozeman Tenants United. I've moved here to go to MSU, and I've lived here ever since. I love Bozeman. But a huge reason why I'm doing this work is because growing up in San Francisco, you always have this knowledge that you're not going to be able to stay. And it's this really, really sad, bittersweet childhood growing up, knowing that you're not going to be able to afford to move back to the place that you love and that you call home. People who are fifth generation Montanans are living in their cars right now, and that's completely unacceptable. I'm here to fight to stop that from happening. Too many members of ours have lived in their cars for periods. Some were even pregnant and living in their cars. And a lot of the folks who are living in their cars right now are fully employed. Maybe they're even working two jobs and they can't find a place to live.
Katie Firethunder and Olive Nakano-Sohn, thank you so much for joining us today on Echotones. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much for having us.
You have just heard a conversation with Bozeman Tenants United steering team members Katie Firethunder and Olive Nakano-Sohn. Their issues are on the agenda of the Bozeman City Commission meeting at City Hall this Tuesday, August 8th, 2023 at 6 p.m. You can find out more on their Facebook page. Echotones is a Beyond the Deep End production, hosted and produced by Joy LaClaire.